on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
And he said, people are listening. Everyone who talks, they are listening in their home.
Artificial intelligence is becoming one of those topics that most everybody everywhere has an opinion on right now. He says the Venezuelan people are absolutely thirsty to hear and embrace the word of God.
So I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, how do we train our children to be godly warriors who don't just know the right things to say, but who actively live out their faith in a way that brings you glory?
Choose a ministry that kids can get behind and support other kids in different areas. And so that's why the Storyteller is so exciting for us this year.
All this and more on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. The podcast is designed to keep donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries informed about how God's using us to ignite a passion for Christ in kids, teens, and families worldwide. We talk to partners, donors who use our resources, and ministry leaders who can help us pray for worldwide evangelism and discipleship. Today, we'll talk to Michelle Cook with Ozone Camp in Tennessee, who's partnering with Keys for Kids to help kids in Ecuador, of all places. Kelsey Studebaker is a mom who wrote a book about training biblical warriors. A pastor in Venezuela gives us an update on conditions there. Mission Network News interviewed me about AI and how ministries are using it. But first, just a few months ago, many of you helped Keys for Kids Ministries raise $10,000 to fulfill a need. It was a request from an Albanian ministry pastor, a leader who was heading there in May. Albania has been a country that Keys for Kids Ministries has translated Keys for Kids stories into to create these storytellers, which are basically audio Bibles. They're solar-powered MP3 players. We call them storytellers, and it has an audio Bible on it, but also Keys for Kids stories translated into Albanian. And we've had partners kind of come and go in this program, but just recently I was able to be introduced to a man. We call him Brother Paul, and located here in West Michigan. And Brother Paul is with me on the phone because Brother Paul just got back from a trip to Albania. Welcome back, Brother Paul.
Thank you so much. Good to hear you guys again.
Yes, well, it's good to talk to you. I'm really excited to hear about the trip because what maybe some of our podcast listeners don't know is that many of our listeners help support raising funds to actually send 500 storytellers into Albania at your request. And so we were able to fundraise for that. And they were actually able to be delivered on time, which that kind of never happens, but they were actually able to be delivered on time. But Brother Paul, you ran into a problem once they got into Albania. What was that problem?
It was an issue there with the custody. So we were having a hard time because the way they were sent to a name of individual, not to the organization. So it makes it so complicated, but thank you to He for Kids who really helped us because we have to pay a tax on that. And it was not cheap, but with your help, we were able to get those and also to deliver to the people that we wanted to be delivered.
Well, we were excited that when we did the fundraising for this, actually people donated extra money. So God already knew what was going to happen with customs. You actually just got back from a trip. Tell us about the trip.
Well, it was very blessing, and we really feel the prayers of many of our believers who are praying here. We were able also to deliver the Key for Kids. We give to 160 to a pastor in the capital in Albania. He is working with outreach in the prison and also with retired people and also with the kids as well to many different villages. So many of those Key for Kids radio also is going or they already been delivered in jails for people who does not know how to read. And they can hear the Bible, and also in the same times to these retired people who are very left behind. In the same time, we were able to take the rest down south when my brother is leading as the leader of the church. And over there, we have a great activity with kids, around 50 kids show up that Saturday evening, and we gave them this radio. They were very happy, very excited. We tried to explain how this works. And the next day we had a big event, 130 people show up, and we were sharing the gospel. And my friend Dave, he shared his testimony. And after that, he make a request if anyone want to receive Jesus. And there were 36 people who prayed to receive Jesus. So after that, we also give them people who are interesting, people who really wanted the Key for Kids radio. And also there were people who were taking, can I take one because I have a family who are not here, but they have kids, and we like to hear that. So it was very excited. We saw there was a lot of interest. And also I'm hearing back now as I talked to my brother this morning, and he said, people are listening. Everyone who talks that, they are listening in their home, so which was so excited. We're praying that the Lord will touch their heart, because there are beautiful stories, and also the Word of God is translated in Albania. So people who don't have time to read, but at least they can listen.
Well, what I love about the storytellers, that we call them, not only does it have the full Word of God in the stories, but the stories actually point the end user, the listener, to a gospel truth or to a biblical truth. And I love the fact that it happens in a very simple way. So even those that don't have any Christian background can understand them, because Albania is not necessarily a Christian nation, correct? It's mostly Muslim?
Yes. The Muslim is more a tradition, but in the same time, the Islam is increasing. But in the same time, we see how God is working. You know, so there are both good, both things we see, bad and good.
So obviously you were able to deliver the 500 units. So there's still several hundred still available. What's the strategy to put them into the hands of kids, teens, and families in Albania? Does your brother have a strategy for that yet?
Yes, they are, like I said before, they are going to give to more people in the village when there probably are people who does not know how to read. So that can be very helpful. And in the same time, they are going to share with some other pastors to another city when they can be able also, they can deliver to the kids and also to the different area in the village. So the potential looks like in the future, we might need more of these things so that more people can hear. There are area in Albania, there is no church, there is no gospel, there is no preach. So we hope that by giving this, the Word of God is going to be shared, and the Word of God would touch the heart of the people.
Has your brother ever seen anything like this before, in terms of being able to reach kids with stories and the Bible, and even really families, not just kids?
No, this was so amazing. I was so excited. I wish you were there and you can see the joy in the eyes of the people when we give those. And they start immediately to listen. And when they were the group of kids, they were listening. They all turned on theirs and they were listening in the same times.
Oh, that's
amazing.
It was
very beautiful.
So the teenagers liked it as well.
Even the adults. Even the adults. So I'm sure this is not going to be listened just for the kids. Even their parents are going to listen.
You've been listening to my interview with Brother Paul on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. More to come in just a minute. Hey, I'd like to invite you to join Keys for Kids Ministries on YouTube. We've avoided YouTube for many years because of the advertising that can come along with that. We don't want to be responsible for leading somebody astray. However, we also know that there are a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians, who are there already, and we need to reach them too. So, search for Keys for Kids Ministries TV on YouTube, subscribe, and share our content. Now, the channel's limited right now, but it's growing. Find weekly Parent Minute tips, ministry updates, new outreach possibilities, and more. That's Keys for Kids Ministries TV on YouTube. Subscribe and share. We continue now with my interview with Brother Paul on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
Let me tell you a story. So, my brother Clement, he just told me that he went to visit last week. He went to visit a man who is in bed. He's paralyzed. And he's been there for 10 years, and his condition is going very bad. So when he went there and tried to talk about God, he was having a hard time listening. And so Clement said, can I pray for you? And he did it with hands, yes. So Clement prayed for him, and God, he prayed that God, please open his ear so that he can hear the word of God. So when he left, the next time when Clement visited him, his ear was opening, and he found it with the radio in the hands, and he was listening the word of God. He was so excited and so joyful that he is able now to hear the word of God. That was so encouragement.
Was it for the first time?
It was for the first time for him to listen. And he cannot read anymore because he cannot hold the books. His old lady too, she was helping him with everything, but she cannot read by herself. So I'm telling you, this kid for kid is listening every day now to this man. And I heard from my other friends too. He gave to the two other paralyzed men who lives in the capital. And now they're listening the word of God as well.
When you asked for 500 back in, I think it was April, maybe February or March, did you think that that would be too many or not enough?
In that time, maybe I thought there was too many, but right now I think it's not too many. They probably may need more in the future.
Okay.
Because the area of outreaching is very, very spread.
There's a lot of area.
Very large. Yeah, it's a lot of area that... we really wanted to reach with this Key for Kids because they have a beautiful story and people really like it. Whoever translated their radio did amazing work. I hope that in the future we can reach more with these things in Albania, in Kosovo, Albanian, and also Macedonia, or also in Montenegro, because there's a lot of Albanian there who can hear the gospel in Albanian language. And those areas are very Islamic places, but God is good and he can touch the heart of people. And I'm hoping that in the future we can see that happen. Also, we can go to some campus in Greece where are lots of refugees, Muslims, or Lord willing, in Turkey as well. That's been my prayer.
Oh, indeed.
I see that there's a great potential for spreading the gospel.
Well, it sounds like you and I need to do some strategic planning and dreaming big and seeing what God will have in store for us. So,
yes,
Brother Paul, it's been a great thing to talk to you. What specific prayer points can we write down and pray about the work in Albania? What can we pray for?
Continue to pray for people who got this MP3 radio. So as they listen in the word of God, the Holy Spirit can touch their hearts. And also, we can pray that more people in the future can hear the gospel. So we'll be able to provide more Key for Kids to the area that is not, the gospel hasn't been heard yet.
All right. Well, Brother Paul, thank you for joining me on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We appreciate you, appreciate your diligence, and just being willing to listen to the Lord to come visit me. I mean, it was literally a chance visit in our office at Keys for Kids that allowed this this ministry to take place. And so we're grateful for your listening to the Holy Spirit and joining us and partnering with us, and we can't wait to see what God has in store.
Thank you so much.
That's Brother Paul, an Albanian Christian who just delivered 500 Keys for Kids storytellers into Albania. Now, if you'd like to help our storyteller program, just go to keysforkids.org/storyteller. That's keysforkids.org/storyteller. Next, artificial intelligence, or AI. You may have your own ideas about it. So does Keys for Kids Ministries. However, we really haven't figured it all out yet. Is it good, bad, or somewhere in the middle? Mission Network News' Katie Harth was curious. She interviewed me recently. Here's that interview on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Greg Yoder on the line for Keys for Kids Ministries. And we're going to be talking about a recent Barna survey and the findings from that. So Barna did a study or a survey and found that 1 in 3 Christians trust AI as a spiritual authority. Nearly half of the respondents trust AI to guide their spiritual growth. And Greg, I have my own opinions on this study, but I wanted to ask you, first off, is this a good or a bad thing?
That's a bad thing. They're trusting technology for their spiritual growth. That's a bad thing. So, no, I don't agree with that at all. And it's sad that that's the case, because it basically means that people are relying more on AI to guide them as opposed to their Bible, reading their Bible. You cannot get spiritually fed without reading your Bible and praying to Christ, praying to God. So let me just get that out there at the forefront. So if people are trusting AI for their spiritual input, they're wrong. Now, that's not to say that AI can't be used as a tool to help them in their walk with the Lord. And in terms of, hey, does this particular, I mean, it's almost like a Google search. If you use it as kind of a Google search, you're going to find good stuff and bad stuff, just like you do with Google. But AI should not be used as a guide to help you in your spiritual walk with Christ.
Thank you.
In my humble opinion. Now there are some nuances to that.
This isn't just about us and our opinions about it, about AI. It's about, you know, the impact it can have on ministry as you lead Keep for Kids ministries. So your team is having discussions about this topic, how to use AI. What's the consensus so far?
We don't have one yet. We have people that hate it on our staff, and we have people on our staff that love it. Let me just say this first. I think artificial intelligence is becoming one of those topics that most everybody everywhere has an opinion on right now. You might be right, you might be wrong. I think some people are excited about it, others maybe are concerned about it. And honestly, I think both perspectives had valid points. At Keys for Kids Ministries, we're trying the approach to use AI thoughtfully, biblically, of course, and carefully. It's not to simply embrace it because it's new, but don't reject it because it's unfamiliar. I think we can look at that. Think about the history of our world. The printing press, that was going to be evil, you know, way back when. When radio came out, I remember people saying at the radio station that I came from, because it's been on the air since 1926, it almost split the church because, you know, it's of the air. And what is Satan? Rule of the air, the world. So Satan could have been viewed, or radio could have been viewed as being satanic. Television, very similarly. The internet when it came out, social media. I mean, all those things, even podcasting. Many people, you know, thought the technologies raised some concerns at first, but eventually have become tools. You probably remember, Katie, when Photoshop came out. Well, you know, oh, that was Photoshopped. Okay, you can tell that was Photoshopped. Well, Photoshop is used every day today in creating graphics and so forth. And so I feel like AI feels like similar ways is like Photoshop came out and all of those new technologies came out. I think the important question about it is it truth? Is it creative? Is it affecting jobs? Is it affecting ethics? Is it affecting human relationships and stewardship? And I think all of those questions need to be answered.
And I appreciate you bringing this balanced and a little bit historical context to the conversation, because I think that's important to remember, because it seems like consistently over time, whenever these new technologies come out, the young people are really the early adopters and the ones who are so excited to use it. So when it comes to AI and how you guys are going to, you know, use it as a ministry, I guess, what are some of the opportunities that might exist in your context? And then are there any ways that you currently use AI?
Yeah, well, let me just turn that on a dime, because it's just the opposite in our situation. We have young people that hate it. We have older people that kind of love it. And so it's a little different right now. I think at Keys for Kids Ministries, we've seen ways that it can help us, especially in like graphics. It really helps so for example, we can feed in like pictures of things that we have, that we've taken, that we have. And it really helps us fine tune a graphic. It can help us troubleshoot technology issues. We're having issues with our CRM right now, and our content management system, and how we manipulate it. Not any donor information, none of that. But how do we make this thing function right? Assisting with coding, you know, if we want to create a web page, oh, okay, how do we make this work in HTML? Or how do we make this thing function on a database? Or even just translating things. We were able to take a Christian song and put that Christian song that we actually wrote and created and translate it. Or some of our Keys for Kids or Unlocked, can we translate it through AI? And believe it or not, it does pretty well in some languages. Brainstorming content. You know, how can we take our content, for example, our Keys for Kids and our Unlocked, and how can we put it into a package so we're creating devotionals for specific topics? Or maybe brainstorming ideas on new topics that we need to be concerned about. Are there issues that we're just blind about, that we're not talking about some of those issues? So there's a lot of things that we are already kind of using it, but it will not and certainly should not replace people who love kids, who love teens and families and point them toward Jesus. That I don't think AI should ever replace that. I think one of my concerns is that Christians could move to extremes, that we could either just blindly embrace the technology without any guarding or guideposts, or completely reject it because, well, we just don't understand it.
And another reason we have these discussions is to help the parents of the kids that you guys minister to. You have your parent minute, and you know, it's, I think parents are the demographic that listen to our program.
Right.
So what would you say is kind of the takeaway for them from this conversation?
Just like any new technology, it's a tool, and we're probably going to be using it as a tool to help, again, create graphics and things like that. We will never use it for creating devotional content. We'll never use it for creating things that, you know, people would certainly have to use it to create things with. I think the reality is that AI is probably here to stay. And the question for ministries isn't just simply whether we use it or don't use it. The question is, how are we going to use it or choose not to use it? And I think these tools, in ways that we honor Christ, can help us fulfill the mission that Christ has called us to do, and that is to ignite a passion for Christ in kids and teens and families. I think at the end of the day, technology will always be changing, but the gospel doesn't. And so we don't ever obviously want to replace the gospel with AI. We'll never, ever, ever do that. Our mission remains the same, though, just helping kids, teens, and families know Jesus and grow in their faith. And if AI can help us accomplish doing that without replacing people and the Holy Spirit and the gospel, we will probably use it as a tool similarly as we use Adobe Photoshop or other tools to share the gospel where kids are today.
Perfect. It's reassuring to know you guys are sticking to the Bible gospel and not whatever, you know, gospel might come out of AI.
Yes,
so
for certain.
I appreciate
for certain.
That.
You can probably tell we haven't come to any conclusions other than this. Humans will be writing all of our devotionals and Bible-focused content. AI may be a good tool to help with research, troubleshooting technology, writing code, creating graphics, and maybe even help create some music with our original lyrics, but we're really not sure yet. Like everyone else, we're still studying the issue. Clearly, it's a tool and only a tool. How much we'll use it is yet to be seen. Keys for Kids Ministries is once again hosting the summer reading programs for kids and teens. If they read all summer long, they can win some really cool prizes. Go to wordwithzach.org for kids or unlocked.org for teens to sign up. Now, the program started June 1st, but you can sign up anytime and make up the days that you missed. That's wordwithzach.org for kids and unlocked.org for teens. It's free. Back in January, following Venezuela's President Maduro's arrest and extradition by the United States, I texted with a ministry leader, a Venezuelan, a friend, who still lives there. If you're interested in hearing that, it's the January 2026 podcast. Well, late last week, I sent my friend another text asking several questions. Because of security issues and the internet issues, he was able to return my messages by text, but I'm going to be reading them for him just to keep him safe. The first question I asked was, has the situation improved for the Venezuelan people? He says the economic and social situation of the Venezuelan people remain critical. The currency devaluation continues its downward spiral, driving up costs of food and services daily. This in turn leads to a worsening of hunger and health conditions. We hear about oil sales and macroeconomic data that have improved since January 3rd. This is benefiting the dictatorship and the wealthy sectors of society that support them, but for the poorest people, the situation is worsening every day. Politically, however, there has been substantial improvement as a significant number of political prisoners have been released and the Venezuelan interim government is allowing protests and the political work of the opposition. My next question was, are Christians being persecuted? He says, we Christians here suffer a very selective kind of persecution. Let me explain. Here, there is complete freedom to profess and practice religious beliefs that Venezuelans choose. The problem arises when evangelicals do social work without asking for anything in return. This is extremely dangerous for the Venezuelan dictatorship, which is still in power, since they use social aid to subjugate the population. Intelligence agencies, both police and military, constantly monitor any suspicious activity involving foreign funding for social aid. In our particular case, we have to use various methods of aid to receive it from abroad, and we have to be very careful when documenting aid so that we can send reports to donors. Only in this way have we been able to help our people. The next question I asked is their greater interest in spiritual matters. He says the Venezuelan people are absolutely thirsty to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are overwhelmed trying to attend to so many people who cry out to the Lord amidst the precariousness of their lives. The next question I asked was, do you have more or less hope? Our hope lies in God continuing to work to ensure that this communist system that opposes us continues in its process of moving away from power. Currently, they remain at the head of the government. We long for and ask God that free elections, verifiable and international community can be held. This is what will truly determine whether Venezuela can return to democracy and the balance of powers. When this happens, we have the firm hope that Venezuela will be resurrected. Then I asked him, how can we pray for you? I ask that you continue to pray for us regarding 7 prayer requests to God. First, please continue to pray for us that my family and I always remain vigilant, maintaining genuine and consistent communication with God, and that we may not neglect this. Secondly, that God may continue to motivate the brothers and sisters who know us and our missionary ministry in Venezuela so that their financial support may be stable, and therefore we may have a reasonable minimum here for our food and other basic needs for our family. Third, pray that God will inspire new people to support us in prayer and financially. Some of our donors have stopped donating and others are intermittent. We are more than grateful to them, but to maintain stable income, we wish to ask God to motivate new people to join our regular donors. Also, please pray that God will inspire leaders of the churches that we've contacted to consider having their churches support us. Fourth, the situation of the people here is extremely difficult, my brothers and sisters, and seeing so much need breaks our hearts. Adding to the situation are the thousands of families who are receiving their relatives deported from the different countries, and we must also consider the thousands of people who are fleeing to Brazil daily, leaving families fragmented. The prayer request is that God will motivate the brothers and sisters and the church to help bless some of these families. Fifth, thanks be to God, the congregation and the missions, churches in the planting process have continued to grow. God continues to add families, adults, the elderly, youth, and children to the church and to the mission in which we are working. The missionary and pastoral work and the 3 missions that we are carrying out in other parts of the city is, thanks be to God, going very well. The prayer request is that God will continue to provide resources for his work here. I am referring to Bibles, discipleship materials, evangelism, teaching materials, and other logistical and operational needs,
of the church and the work in the missions which we are involved. Sixth, for God's provision to keep our pickup truck operational. Maintenance, spare parts, fuel, since, as I have explained in previous occasions, this truck is a very useful tool for God's work here in my city. And seventh, please continue to support us in prayer for our emotional well-being. It is very difficult to visit so many people suffering from so many needs. Our hearts ache every day after visiting so many people with diverse needs. Please join us in prayer so that God will continue to watch over our mental and emotional health. If there's one thing that my wife and I greatly appreciate is your prayer support. We give many thanks to God for you. For us, your prayer support is like the ropes that support the rescuer when they go down to find an injured person. Thank you for your support. Receive a warm and fraternal hug from us. That message complete from our friend in Venezuela. Let me just ask you to take some time and pray for Venezuela. We'll be posting these prayer requests in the notes here on this podcast. You're listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. For the first time since I started working here at Keys for Kids Ministries, we attended Mission, the Michigan Homeschool Network in Lansing, Michigan. Hundreds of homeschool families were there. Keys for Kids handed out hundreds of copies of devotionals. Dozens and dozens of families subscribed to receive them each quarter. We sold books. It was really a great weekend. And I also ran into a friend, Kelsey Studebaker. I didn't even know she was an author. As a homeschool mom, she's written a book called Training Godly Warriors. And since Keys for Kids Ministries is all about discipleship, I had to talk to her about it. So here's Kelsey Studebaker on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
It's interesting, though, the name of your book is called Training Godly Warriors, and something that we've been doing at our church is Every Man a Warrior. And so I've always had kind of a passion for, you know, leading young men in that kind of a way. But as I was looking at your book, you just want to do this with all kids. Maybe just describe why you wrote this book.
Yeah, so a few years ago, I was volunteered to host a homeschool mom's retreat. And when I volunteered, I didn't remember that the host always shares some encouraging and inspirational message with the moms. And so I thought, what am I going to share? And so I thought, I better start praying about this. So I started praying about it. And then one morning, as I was reading my Bible, I came across Psalm 78. And in that psalm, Asaph, the writer, who was a Levite assigned by David to be one of the temple musicians, he gives a plea to the Israelites. And he says, "Oh, my people, listen, open your ears to what I'm about to say to you." He says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." But then he goes on to tell them how their ancestors had failed to do that and the consequences of their failure. So they lost their fear of the Lord and they continually sinned against him. And it wasn't until the Lord began killing them that they finally repented. But then it says, "But all they gave him was lip service and their hearts were not loyal to him." And reading those words really pierced my heart and made me long for my own seven children to avoid such a superficial faith. And so I cried out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, how do we train our children to be godly warriors who don't just know the right things to say, but who actively live out their faith in a way that brings you glory?" And it was in that moment I felt as if the Holy Spirit said, "That is what I want you to share with the moms." And so I thought, okay, well, I don't really know anything about being a warrior. So naturally, what does the military do to train warriors? So I started studying the military's basic training and quickly found that many of the underlying principles could be applied to a spiritual basic training.
Wow.
And so that's what I ended up sharing with the moms. I made some activity pages for their kids for them to do with their children. And I eventually wrote this book about it.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, it's interesting because, you know, all the research that's out there that says, you know, kids that grew up in a Christian home, you know, they turn 18, they leave the church because they know in their head what they know, but they don't know in their heart. Is that something that you're, I mean, is that kind of the reason you've written this book?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research out there. Gen Z is the first truly post-Christian generation, being twice as likely to be atheists than any previous generation. And some of George Barna's new research shows that less than 1% of teenagers have a biblical worldview. And so it's not even that they're not acting on it. They don't even know the truth. They're confused. A lot of times they'll make up a God to suit themselves, where they might claim to believe in the God of the Bible, claim to believe in Jesus, but they're believing a Jesus that's okay with their sins and okay with a certain lifestyle and not the Jesus of the Bible, or not everything that the Bible tells about Jesus to be true.
Talk to me about how long has this book been out, and what is your hope?
Yeah, so I published the book in October.
So it's brand new.
It's brand new, yes. My hope is to encourage parents, and especially moms. I know the fathers are the spiritual leader of the home, and I think as mothers, we want to be the helpmeet, and especially homeschool moms, we tend to teach a lot of the subjects, and so I feel like spiritual discussions come up a lot in, you know, science or history, and so it's important that we understand how to help our children so that we can support our husbands in his role as the spiritual leader.
Let's talk to families that aren't homeschool, because, I mean, obviously a lot of people that are listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, probably not homeschool moms. Can it really work with them as well?
Yes, absolutely. So I take them through the three phases of spiritual basic training. And it starts with building a firm foundation, where we're helping our children understand the mission. What mission do we have as Christians? So I love Ecclesiastes 12:13 as a mission statement, which is to fear God and obey his commands, because I feel like that is encompassing, all-encompassing of all the other commands that we're given in the Bible. Love God, love our neighbor, the Great Commission. And then it's, you know, helping our children develop a biblical worldview, leading by example. I think that's one of the most important aspects of this. We can't train our children to be godly warriors unless we're godly warriors ourselves.
And even acknowledging when we mess up, when we sin as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, helping our children see that we're human as well, and we need the Lord just as much as they do. And so when we can lead by example, that's really helpful. There's a professor at Notre Dame, Christian Smith, and he did a 16-year study where he followed children from adolescence to adulthood. And he found that the number one reason why some children stay in the faith that they were brought up in was because of the example that their parents set for them. So it's so crucial that we are in the Word daily ourselves, and then helping to equip our children.
You're listening to Kelsey Studebaker on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Are you looking to make a lasting impact on kids, teens, and families worldwide? Join the Keys for Kids Ministries Key Club program. As a monthly donor, your consistent support helps share the gospel year-round, especially during the summer months, providing life-changing biblical resources to those who need them most. Whether you choose to give 10, 15, 25, 50, or more each month, your generosity ensures that more young hearts hear about Jesus. Plus, as a token of our appreciation, we'll send you a special thank you package. Visit keysforkids.org/keyclub. That's keysforkids.org/keyclub to join today and make an eternal difference. Together, we can ignite a passion for Christ in the next generation.
So, the book's been out since October. What kind of response have you gotten? I mean, obviously, you're here speaking about the book, I'm assuming. What kind of response have you gotten?
Great. Everybody's been very encouraging, and I've been on a few podcasts. I was on David Fiorazzo's show, Worldview Matters, the Salt and Light Council out of California. And then, yes, this is our first homeschool conference. We're excited to be here. We had some great response. I'm just hoping to encourage more parents.
How did they get a hold of your book?
They can find it on Amazon, or they can go to my website, traininggodlywarriors.com. And the shop page, it has links directly to the Amazon.
Talk about the book. I mean, it looks like a book and a companion resource. What's in both?
So the book goes through the three phases of spiritual basic training. There's, you know, weapons training. So, like, what weapons do we have available to us as Christians? God's Word, the Holy Spirit, prayer, fasting, scripture memorization. Identifying the enemy is a big one as well, because I think that's a topic that we try to avoid a lot because it can be scary.
Right.
But it's really important. Like, the military understands how important it is to understand our enemy, so that he will not outsmart us. So I go through a lot of the devil's tactics, and so our children can recognize those tactics and be better equipped to resist them. And then the warrior phase is the last phase, where we get into simulations and leadership training and advanced weapons training.
And the companion resource.
Yes. So the companion resource is activity pages geared towards grades 1 through 5. Where we're just emphasizing the principles that were conveyed in the book. So I have lots of, you know, Bible memory pages, different activity pages you can do with your children. And I tried to differentiate it for the homeschool family and people with different ages. So there are some that are easier for younger children and a little bit more difficult for the older kids.
I see. And again, anybody could use this book, not just not just a homeschool family, but even just families at home.
Yes. Yes. The main book is for any parent, mostly moms, because I kind of wrote it thinking of the mom in mind, keeping the mom in mind. But yeah, any parents that want to learn how to train their children in the Lord. And I also use a lot of practical examples. I was a teacher before I started homeschooling. And so I love the practical, like what can I do practically? How do you know, there's the verse in the Bible that says, train up a child the way he should go. But what does that training look like? So give me practical things that I can do. So one thing we do is we have an apologetics notebook where I ask my kids a skeptic's question each day. And I give them 5 minutes to record their answer, and then we discuss it. And I might read a Christian apologist answer to that question to help equip them more. Another thing we do is we carry gospel tracts with us so we can give out tracts to people.
Basically, practical things that will help kids not just, and again, know in their head, but know in their heart and actually practice it. Because how can you do it if you don't practice it, right?
I can share another example, too. So combat skills is another area that I talk about in the book. And one practical thing we did, so often I will try to buy curriculum that has a biblical worldview, but once in a while I might buy something that looks neutral, like, for example, how to draw animals in 4 to 5 steps. So I had purchased this directed drawing activity pages, and I noticed there was a fun fact at the bottom of each page. Well, when I got to the chicken page, it said that the chicken was related to the dinosaur Tyrannosaurus Rex. And so I was like, okay. So I started doing a little research to see what they meant. And sure enough, I found that some people believe that the chicken evolved from a dinosaur. And so instead of throwing it out, I said, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to teach my children. So we made a Venn diagram, and I put up a picture of a chicken and another picture of a dinosaur. And I said, what are the similarities and differences? And so we went through and we found out that God actually created the chicken on day 5 before the dinosaur on day 6. And we just saw these differences. We looked at God's word and we saw in Genesis chapter 1 how God says he created them according to their kind 10 times in that book. So he wanted it to be clear to us. And then in Corinthians, like 1 Corinthians 15, I think it is, he talks about the different types of flesh that he gave to animals. So one type for birds, one type for reptiles. And so just looking through the scripture and how do we judge this based on the scripture? What does God's word say? And I think that's another really important piece is that we always need to start with God's word and not try to put man's word into God's word, but start with God's word and make sure that that's our final authority.
Right. Well, I've been talking with Kelsey Studebaker, the author of the book Training Godly Warriors. Thanks for being a part of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, summer camp is about more than campfires, games, and making memories. For many kids, it's a place where they encounter Jesus, build lifelong friendships, and discover that they can make an impact for God right now, not sometime in the future. One camp in Tennessee is helping kids do exactly that by turning something small into something huge.
Well, it's always interesting to hear people that want to get involved in Keys for Kids to not only support the work that we're doing, but also support the work that's going on in their own community, but also around the world. And this is just one example. I just want to introduce to you, her name is Michelle Cook. And Michelle, you're a part of Camp Ozone, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
What is Camp Ozone?
So Camp Ozone is a camp that is under the umbrella of Children's Bible Ministries in Townsend, Tennessee. And we have our own camp here in Rockwood, Tennessee, on the Cumberland Plateau.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful.
It is very beautiful. It's a small camp, a Bible camp, of course. So
awesome. Well, I got aware of you or became aware of you because of an email that you sent, I think, to our team earlier. I don't even know when it was exactly. Back on May 18th. You just said that you had an interest in just finding out about our storytell. Tell us how this all transpired.
We have a friend who their daughter is in Ecuador right now, and they are using the storytellers to send out to the villages and within their own town for the kids to be able to listen to scripture and the Keys for Kids stories. And so part of what we want to do every year, our camp raises funds for a missions project. And this is the project that we're doing this year. We'd like to be able for the kids to donate money to be able to purchase more of the storytellers for Andrea and Peto to use in their ministry in Ecuador.
Wow, that's exciting. So this is something that you do every year then?
We do, yes. We pick a different ministry each year, and we try to have choose a ministry that kids can get behind and support other kids in different areas. And so that's why the storyteller is so exciting for us this year, because we'll be able to show them what it is they're raising funds for, and they'll be able to hear it and to be able to actually see what's going to be sent to the kids in Ecuador to be able to hear about Jesus.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm assuming that this couple that's working in Ecuador has a relationship with your camp somehow?
Actually, no. My friend is the mother of this daughter. I'm sorry, that's very confusing.
No, that's okay. No, I got it. But it's something, I mean, it's someone that's involved in your life and you want to help them.
Yes. They now will be in, you know, part of our camp because we'll know them and we'll be praying for them. But up until now, the only contact has been me.
Oh, well, that's really cool. So as you go throughout the summer, I'm assuming every week you're talking about this, correct?
Yes. So every Sunday night when the kids come, we'll give a little presentation. And their parents donate the money for the, or give them money to give for snack time. And so every snack time the kids can choose, the campers can choose whether to give their money for snacks or to donate towards the mission project. And so they get to choose how much they donate each day if they want to donate each day. But usually it's like for the summer, we usually can get around $1,200 in donations for the missions project.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. And I'm assuming they feel like they're a part of the mission that they're investing in.
Yes, they really do.
Yeah, what do the parents say about this? I mean, obviously they're sending money, obviously for snacks, maybe. But what is their response?
Well, they get excited about the fact that their kids are donating to missions and seeing something outside of their normal life here in the States. But they also, you know, a lot of parents will just go ahead and donate a month of money to the missions project apart from the snack money. So we do have that coming in too.
You mentioned that you average about $1,200. That's like 48 storytellers that you'd be purchasing, and about 150 people will listen to each storyteller. So that's over 7,000 people that you guys will be able to reach with the gospel in Spanish. What do you think of that?
That is very exciting, and we didn't realize that until you sent us that information. But just to think that that many kids, that many people will be able, because it's not just going to be kids, their parents are going to be listening, the neighbors will be listening. It's just very exciting to think that many people will hear about God's word through this one simple little thing.
What can you tell me about the couple that will be receiving these? What ministry do they do? Where are they working in Ecuador specifically? Can you tell me?
Yeah, they're in Macas, Ecuador. And they have outreach, they're church planting out there. So they're reaching into different villages and that. Right now they're really struggling with just Satan having a stronghold in the area, because there are a lot of witch doctors in the area and people still put a lot of stock in them and go to them for a lot of things. So they're struggling with just the churches being built there, you know, wanting to grow. They're also working on getting a radio frequency right now too. So once they're able to do that, that'll be a big help to the ministry.
How can we be praying for you as a camp, but also be praying for this ministry?
We do really want these kids to go home and be able to go home knowing Jesus and be able to share that with their family and their friends. But just the fact that while they're there, being able to unplug from all of life and being able to focus on God's word, we really want to be able to do that to them in a very good way. So pray that as training starts Sunday, that we would be able to have a great time as a staff, really focus on Jesus and the thing, be prepared for what's happening in the kids' lives when they come, so that we can help them meet the challenges that they're dealing with at home. And then as far as Andrea and Peto, we just pray that the Lord would really, they work with the Shuar people, so that the Lord would really soften the hearts of the Shuar people to be able to hear Jesus amidst all of the satanic opposition going on there.
And lastly, obviously, this is something that I'm assuming your camp has done for a while. Talk to a camp who says, I don't know if I can really, we can really have an impact.
Sure. Actually, our camp has only been, this is our 11th year as a camp. So we're a fairly new camp. And it was just, it's part of the culture of the camp now. The kids know that they can bring money and that they can donate it. And it's a very simple way to be able for them to tangibly share the gospel with somebody somewhere else. And I don't know, this, I'm just really thankful for Keys for Kids being able to work with us to be able to even give more of these to storytellers, to the people of Shuar.
Well, we're excited as well, and we can't wait to hear the result, and we want to just obviously be praying for you guys all summer and just encourage other camps and even churches. VBSs have also had some success in raising funds for programs like this, and I just want to say thank you for thinking of us, for allowing us to be a part, a small part of what it is that you're doing, and thinking that more than 7,000 people will hear the gospel because of your desire to help kids be change agents today, not tomorrow. I mean, they're actually having an impact today as children, not tomorrow when they're adults. And I just hats off to you for that.
Well, thank you very much for willing to be a part of it.
You've been listening to Michelle Cook with Ozone Camp from Tennessee here on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Well, today we talked with Brother Paul about the Albanian storyteller distribution. We discussed AI and its impact on ministry. We provided an update on conditions in Venezuela and how we can pray. We introduced you to a new book called Training Godly Warriors. And finally, we got to hear about a Christian camp planning to help reach kids in Ecuador. Now, if you have any questions about anything you heard on today's podcast, just email me at greg@keysforkids.org. That's greg@keysforkids.org. Well, thank you for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a monthly podcast designed to update donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries about the work that's going on behind the scenes. Now, if you have a heart and passion for reaching kids, teens, and families worldwide with the liberating power of the gospel, please like and share this podcast with friends and family. By the way, if you have a cool Keys for Kids story or testimony and would like to be featured on the podcast, just email me at greg@keysforkids.org and tell me your story. Don't forget, the summer reading programs are underway. Join. Go to wordwithzach.org for kids or unlock.org for teens. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast as we keep pointing kids, teens, and families to Jesus, one heart at a time. I'm Greg Yoder.